You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Robert Lee.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Sergio Garcia claims a stunning wire-to-wire victory at the Omega Dubai Desert Classic.
It was already a great week, the way everything went and the way I played and I handled myself out there. So to top it off with a win and against Henrik feels great.
Henrik Stenson had to settle for second place after ultimately coming up short in his pursuit of the Spaniard.
You got to push when you're behind, and we got the wind slightly wrong there on 15, and I overhit it a little bit at the same time, so that obviously where it all kind of finished. And Sergio at the same time hit a lovely shot to about 2.5 feet, and it was pretty much game, set and match on the 15th green.
So a review of all of the action from the final event of the Desert Swing to come. Plus, we'll look ahead to the next stop on the European Tour, the Maybank Championship in Kuala Lumpur. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck, and I'm joined this week by two-time European Tour winner Robert Lee. Rob, how are you?
Keep them coming, Dan. Keep them coming. Yeah, very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, and congratulations to Sergio Garcia. There is so much goodwill when it comes to European Tour fans behind Sergio Garcia. I always feel it's great to see him with his hands on another trophy.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's been a bulwark of European golf for many years now, and there's no doubting the boy's talent and his zest and his panache, the way he plays golf. He's got that X factor that not every player's got. You like to watch Sergio Garcia when he's going around, and the only thing, and we talk about it all the time, and it's really boring if you're Sergio Garcia, you just can't stand listening to this, is the major trophy. It's the only thing missing, really, from, you know, all the things that he's managed to achieve. But another great win for him on a golf course that certainly suits him. And, you know, when it comes down to shot making, there's probably nobody better than him.
Three shots clear of Henrik Stenson on 19 under par. Weather-affected events out in the Gulf. It was his 12th European Tour win in his 250th appearance. A wire-to-wire winner as well, Rob. That is no mean feat. He began the final round with a three-shot lead, got off to a perfect start. When you birdie the first, any nerves, and I doubt whether Sergio still has them, but any nerves surely would disappear.
Every player's got nerves. I don't care what they tell you. Yeah. First hole, a three-shot lead. You bogey the first and your nearest challenger birdies the first. It's a one-shot lead. Three-shot lead is nothing over 18 holes. And to start like that on what can be quite a tricky opener at the Emirates was just absolutely fantastic. And I think that sent a message to everybody else. You know, Sergio was at it from the get-go.
It's a good event for those leading from 54 holes. 17 of 27 54-hole leaders have gone on to win. And Sergio himself is good from the top as well. 11 from 25 leading or co-leading he's managed to convert. So did the event and did the player himself set himself up for victory, do you think? Did it lead him to that?
Well, you know, you love stats. I could look at that the other way. And 10 people didn't manage to close out after a 54-hole lead. Kind of lends you to believe
that. But it's harder to win, Rob, isn't it?
It is hard. I tell you what, winning is hard. It doesn't matter what tour you're on, which continent you're in. Hard. Winning is very hard. And for Sergio, nobody likes to blow a lead. You know, you can lose because you're in the scramble with a few holes to go and it didn't go your way. But when you go into the final round with a lead, you're Sergio Garcia, you are expected to close it out. And more than anybody, he had the most pressure on him.
And he had pressure from one of the best players on the planet, Henrik Stenson.
Yeah.
It got close on a couple of occasions. We saw Stenson made a fantastic birdie after finding trouble off the tee on the 6th. Garcia was in trouble on the 8th, but managed to scramble a par and maintain his advantage. And then Stenson got a little bit closer on the back 9. So there were opportunities for Stenson to put that pressure on, and we've seen Garcia wobble on the odd occasion over the years.
He's human, he's fallible like they all are. But Sergio I always felt he just had enough. I always felt he could pull out a shot somewhere, or hole a putt somewhere, or just do something enough to put Stenson off. And in the end, he ran out quite an easy winner. But it wasn't, when you read the stats and the figures, you think, oh, he just cruised. It wasn't a cruise. He had to really grind. And like I say, winning is hard. You don't just waltz through. I don't care how good a player you are, even if you're Sergio Garcia. So he would have been concerned in that back nine. He would have been really down giving his very best, which he did. But in the end, I think the best player of the week won the tournament, no doubt about that.
He was only two ahead after the 14th, so four to play.
Still on.
It's still on for Stenson, isn't it, really? And someone like Henrik Stenson, he can just push and push. He's not going to back away, is he?
You know, when you've done what he did last year in terms of in Europe, the Race to Dubai, in terms of his first major championship at the Open, equaled the championship record score of 63 in the final round, in the final two ball with Phil Mickelson. You're kind of bulletproof. And he had all that confidence behind him. And Sergio knew that. Sergio knew, I'm playing against a guy who's got absolutely every right to think he's going to win again. But he didn't, because Sergio produced a masterstroke at the 15th. And that probably was the key shot at just the right time.
Does it help if you're the leader like Sergio Garcia, that you're playing in the same group with your closest challenger? You can see what he's actually doing rather than just looking at a leaderboard?
I think so. I think if you figure it's like rather like the Open with Phil and Henrik, you figure out pretty quickly it's going to come down to the two of you. I would much rather be playing with the guy than he's either in front of me or behind me, and I'm kind of wondering what he's doing. I can see what he's doing. I know they say it's match play. It's never match play. But you can reply or you can change your strategy straight away, because of if he's taken risks somewhere and it's not come off, all of a sudden you go, hang on a minute, he's going to make a bogey at the best, double maybe. No need for me to press the accelerator here. It can help you.
Well, Sergio was on the front foot over the final few holes. Stenson did manage to birdie the last. However, the victory margin was 3. Englishman Tyrrell Hatton and Dane Lassie Jensen were then at 14 under, 2 shots clear of Matthew Fitzpatrick and Peter Uihlein. Jensen's efforts particularly impressive, given the fact that he'd missed his first 4 cuts this season. He produced a fantastic back 9, signing for a 65, and claimed his second European Tour top 3. Great for players such as that to finish so high up in such a high profile tournament. Great for the confidence.
I'm trying to think back to the Nedbank, and I think Lassie Jensen was the guy I hold a 3-iron for an albatross on the par 5 coming in. I'm pretty sure it was him. It was like a 260-yard 3-iron, something like that. And in my head, it's screaming that Lassie Jensen did that. Second top 3 at the right time of the year. Like you say, after a poor start, when you've had all those bad results, you can start to panic a little bit at the start of the year. You start thinking, well, this could be just a disaster. 65 in the final round and a big jump up the leaderboard. That's a really good finish for him.
Further back, South African duo George Coetzee and Brandon Stone at 11 under, a shot clear of two-time champion Stephen Gallagher and Swede Magnus A. Carlsen. But when Sergio is on this type of form, he's very difficult to beat. As his peers suggested, tweets from Rory McIlroy and Danny Willett congratulating Sergio Garcia. Rory tweeted, "Congrats, Sergio Garcia. Impressive stuff all week." Danny said, "Wasn't to be this year. Always love coming back to Dubai, though. Well played, Sergio Garcia." And you've been tweeting us your thoughts as well. James Meachin says, "Best player by some distance to never win a major. This will be his year." Will it be his year?
You know, for many, every year I get to January and I used to think Montgomery, Westwood, Garcia, all the cards are going to fall in their favour at some point. But I've never had a hole in one. And sometimes when you've got to have everything go right for you on a certain week, and there's only 4 of them every year, of all the tournaments you play, there's only 4 of them that count as a major.
Is this a no? Are you saying no?
It's not a no. Sergio could win a major easily. He should have won majors by now. It just hasn't happened for him. Someone's outplayed him, or he's let himself down with his own play. Either way, he hasn't had his hands on a major trophy. Yes, it could be his year.
He seems a lot happier off the course. I think he's getting married this year, isn't he? So he suggested...
Yeah, life is good for Sergio.
You know?
Life is good.
If it's off the course, you know, does your life off the course affect how you play?
Life affects how you play. Life affects how you are. Of course you're affected by things that are going on. I think Sergio tries to downplay the majors, and I think that's the right thing to do. I think when you make it such a big thing, it becomes a bigger obstacle to get over. And I think he does the right thing by... You know, he just needs to turn up at the majors and play it like it's another tournament. Don't give it the sort of grandiose title, this huge behemoth that's hanging over me. Don't give it that. Just turn up and play like it's another tournament. He can win one.
5th in the US Open last year, 5th in the Open Championship last year. Can he kick on and win a major this year? It will be fascinating to find out. Don't forget, you can send a question to the show. Tweet it to @EuropeanTour using the hashtag ETPodcast. Well, let's hear from the man himself, the new Omega Dubai Desert Classic champion, Sergio Garcia.
Sergio, big moment. Fantastic. Congratulations. How does it feel?
Yeah, it feels great. It's always great to win. It was already a great week, the way everything went and the way I played and I handled myself out there. So to top it off with a win and against Henrik, it feels great.
What was the difference today?
Probably 8 and 15 for me were big moments. 8 because it was probably the worst shot I hit all week of the tee there. And I managed to make a great save for par. And then 15, you know, after Henrik hit a really good shot, but unfortunately went over the back, I knew that he was going to struggle to make par from there because I've been there before in the past, and it's a really, really tricky chip. And to be able to hit the shot I hit there to a couple of feet and get 4 clear, that was massive.
Pleased about where it puts you going into the start of a new year?
Definitely. Obviously, winning early, it's always great. And winning on a tournament like this with the players, the kind of players we had, it's always very nice to do. You know, hopefully we'll keep the same momentum going into the US in a couple of weeks.
A 12th European Tour victory for Sergio, his 30th overall in his 250th European Tour event, his first European Tour win since the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters back in January 2014, and he becomes the 6th Spaniard to win this title after Seve Ballesteros, José María Olazábal, Miguel Ángel Jiménez, Álvaro Quirós and Rafa Cabrera Bello. Let's hear from the man who lost out to Garcia, Open champion and runner-up in Dubai, Henrik Stenson.
No, I'm happy with the progress I've made here over the last couple of weeks. I came into Abu Dhabi with virtually no practice, and I didn't have much time to practice there either. So, you know, the couple of days I had here in Dubai before the tournament week did me good, and I managed to pick up some pace. Game is getting in the right direction, and, you know, to be able to contend and only be a few behind, even though you're not feeling you're playing your best, it's always nice.
It's looking to be getting quite interesting with 4 holes to play.
Yeah, I was trying. I was 3 shots back when I started the day, and Sergio made an early birdie, so I was trailing all day, and I was expecting that, and I needed to come up with some really solid play, and even though I didn't quite play my best, I still managed to sneak a couple of birdies in there in the middle of the back nine and move closer. So you got to push when you're behind, and we got the wind slightly wrong there on 15, and I overhit it a little bit at the same time, so that obviously where it all kind of finished. And Sergio at the same time hit a lovely shot to about 2.5 feet, and it was pretty much game, set and match on the 15th green.
I keep reading about Henrik Stenson over the last few weeks, since the start of 2017, Rob, that not really practiced too much. He's had a bit of time off. I think it was his wedding anniversary recently, so he didn't really pick up the clubs too much before Abu Dhabi. Likewise, before Dubai, still plays brilliantly.
Do you know he's done the right thing? Because it was such an epic year last year for him. You sort of do need to have a mental cool down, if you like. And I think he's done that. I think he's clever, what he's done. And he's sort of easing his way back into the year and still playing some really good golf when he probably feels like he's not... I mean, it's always difficult as a player to work out where you are. So he will think in his mind, because he hasn't put the hard reps in over the recent month and a half or whatever it is, that he'd be a little bit behind the eight ball. But he's not. He's, you know, he's right there. And he feels in his own mind he's not quite up to his full head of steam, which is really encouraging if you're Henrik Stenson.
Yeah, second without playing particularly well, I think he said, to sort of paraphrase.
It's almost like,
you know, when a football team going for the title, picking up wins away from home when not playing particularly well. He's picking up seconds and he's, you know, beating the vast majority of the field every single week, and he's not really on his game yet.
68, 68, 67, 69. I'll show you what not playing very well is. That's
in his world.
I understand that. That's not bad.
Tyrrell Hatton made it 7 top 25 finishes in a row after a final round 67 saw him take a share of third place.
It was annoying to leave that putt short on 18. I had 3 putts today that were like straight downhill. Almost felt it was impossible to leave them short and left all 3 of them short. But, you know, it's been a fantastic week. You know, starting Saturday morning, I was +1 for the tournament. So if you'd have told me I'd have finished tied third, I probably would have been quite surprised. But no, really happy.
As Tyrrell said, he was way off the pace at one stage, but he came back in storming fashion over the weekend, and there's a lot going right for him at the moment.
What a 12 under par weekend for Tyrrell Hatton. Yeah, he's a very impressive player, very good young English player. It's all there for him. He's definitely got that bit of steel that you need. He's got the attitude that you need. The only thing he's got, and I'm sure he's aware of this, with a bit of self-awareness, that he can bubble over a little bit sometimes, get a little bit too intense and a little bit too angry. I wouldn't want to take all that away from him, because that's part of what he is and that's part of what makes him such an aggressive player. Listen, he's going in the right direction.
Certainly is. He was ranked outside the top 100 in the world ahead of this tournament 12 months ago. Now he's inside the top 20, things very much looking up for Tyrrell. Denmark's Lasse Jensen was the other man to finish tied third after producing the lowest round of the day, a 7 under par 65.
Didn't do a lot wrong, really. Played very, very solid and had a strong finish here on the back nine. This golf course, if you underestimate it a little bit, then it can suddenly grab you. So you need to play a bit smart, but still also make some birdies, yeah. It was maybe a bit surprising that I actually played that well this week, because I felt like my game was getting where I wanted to be, but I thought maybe it would take a bit more time to get out of winter and, get the rust out of the system.
A best ever European Tour finish for Jensen. Let's get the full top 10 from the Omega Dubai Desert Classic. Rob.
Tied ninth, Magnus A. Carlsen at 10 under par. Tied Scotland's Stephen Gallagher. Two South Africans tied for seventh, George Coetzee and young Brandon Stone. Peter Uihlein, a much better week for the American, fifth alongside Matthew Fitzpatrick. They were 12 under. And we've just heard that Lasse Jensen from Denmark was 14 under alongside Tyrrell Hatton. They were tied for third. Henrik Stenson second. And the winner, of course, Sergio Garcia.
Elsewhere, Frenchman Gregory Bourdie was the only man to land a hole-in-one at the event. That came in his third round at the 155-yard 11th on Saturday. And the big news on Friday saw Tiger Woods withdraw from the event before starting his second round after suffering from back spasms. The 14-time major champion struggled in his first round, carding a 5-over par 77. The comeback, Rob, hasn't gone quite to plan for Tiger.
Yeah, it's stuttering, isn't it? You know, the most important thing for Tiger is that he's healthy and that he can actually compete. The bit that hasn't been put right is, before the injury, is how badly he was playing. He was playing badly. He's still playing badly. He didn't make the cut at Torrey Pines. He finished second last, I think, in his own event.
He had one good round, didn't he?
Well, he made so many. I think he made 24 birdies in the week, but on a wide open golf course that would at least give you some latitude. And he did hit some great shots, and it looked better. But he didn't make the cut at Torrey Pines, where he's won eight times before, and 77 in the first round here means you can't make the cut. And if the back was, if there was even a minor niggle, I think he would call it a day. I'm going to Riviera in a week's time, and he's due to play there. Yeah. Now, there's a course which you can't spray it on.
And also, it's an event that even in his pomp, even when he was by far and away the best player, he never won. And he played it enough times. I'm not saying he struggled, but in relative terms, he did. Anyway, we will watch with interest when it comes to Tiger over the course of these next few outings. Fantasy Race 2 Dubai tips. And speaking of missing cuts, Rob, your selection, Nicholas Coulthard, didn't make the weekend.
Well, I was duped because we spoke to Nicholas Coulthard on the show last week. And it looked he was confident and the golf course suits him. And he had the local knowledge that you need to do well around there. It all pointed to...
lots of ticks in the right boxes.
It all pointed to an all-star Nicholas Coulthard's week. And I was sucked in. And I went for Coulthard, who finished tied 118th after missing the cut. But I'm still backing the Coulthard's horse.
OK.
At some point soon, that's for sure. Jamie Spence, Mr. Safety and Mr. Drab, went for Henrik Stenson. Surprise, surprise, Henrik didn't win, but he did finish second.
In the Fantasy Race to Dubai game, Poncho's team scored the most points this week. His side included Sergio Garcia as captain and also featured Henrik Stenson, Tyrrell Hatton and Matthew Fitzpatrick, who all finished in the top 10, of course. Caroline Sykes still leads the overall standings. There has been movement at the top of our very own Race to Dubai show, Mini League. Paul Eales has replaced the man alongside me, Mr. Robert Lee, after also naming Sergio Garcia as captain. Good week for Mr. Eales. Good week for your good self as well.
No comment.
OK, fair
no
enough.
No comment.
If you think you can do better than us, then why don't you join our league? Go to europeantour.com/myeuropeantour, pick your fantasy team, and then under the private league tab, enter the PIN. Are you ready for this? Have you got a pen and paper? Capital F, lowercase c, 2, lowercase s, capital C, capital Y, 2, lowercase j, capital B, 1. And you too can be part of the Sean Ryder Cup. I'm not quite sure who named it. I suspect it might be Mr. Lee. Keep an eye on europeantour.com for their Fantasy 3 to watch at the Maybank Championship in Malaysia this week. Let's get the top 10 in the Race to Dubai standings. One suspects, Rob, there's been a bit of movement.
Top 10 in the Race to Dubai standings are like this. In 10, it's Graham Storm. Jakob Ansel is 9th. Brandon Stone with a good finish, 8th. Pablo Larrazábal, 7th. Henrik Stenson, 6th. Sam Brazel, who won in Hong Kong, is in fifth spot. Rafa Cabrera-Bello, Mr. Consistency himself, is fourth. Sergio is now third after one tournament played and one win. Junghoon Wang is, after four events, second, and they're all topped by Tommy Fleetwood.
To other news now, and Australia's Sam Brazel has been named Hilton European Tour Golfer of the Month for December following his maiden tour triumph at the UBS Hong Kong Open. And it's also congratulations to Brendan McGovern after the Irishman graduated top of the class at the European Senior Tour Qualifying School final stage at Pestana Golf and Resorts in Portugal. McGovern finished 11 under par, 6 clear of the rest of the field, which included fellow graduates Clark Dennis, Gary Rusnak, Peter Wilson, and Frenchman Jean-Pierre Salah. Many congratulations to all. And on the PGA Tour, Hideki Matsuyama kept up his incredible run of form by retaining the Waste Management Phoenix Open. The Japanese star overcame Webb Simpson in a tense four-hole playoff to make it 5 wins from his last 9 worldwide starts. Incredible play over the last few months from Hideki.
Matsuyama, top player. There's a guy called Bob Turner who is his interpreter. And he's doing a lot of interpreting at the moment because every time there's a winner's speech, Bob helps Hideki. But Hideki needs no help with his game. He's just been absolutely outstanding. He had chances, Webb had chances, but in the end, after 4 holes, the Japanese player won again. An extraordinary young talent and into the world's top 5.
And when it comes to majors, which one would be best suited to Matsuyama? I think he was in the top 10 of all of them a few years ago. Is the one that stands out?
I could see him putting on a green jacket. I mean, imagine the furore in Japan if they get a Japanese winner of the Masters, and that could happen. The guy's playing better than probably anybody right now and hits it a long way. He's powerful. And, of course, winning in Phoenix with 500,000 people there through the week, he took quite a bit of barracking. You know, he pulled off a couple of swings in his follow-through and looked at people who were obviously shouting things. I'm sure with a beard-up crowd, they weren't all compliments. But he came through all that. Other great players have had to do that in their careers. Gary Player, anyone that was taking on Arnold Palmer, Arnie's Army, used to barrack them. It's happened before, and he's shown himself to be above that and got the W at the end. That's the most important thing.
You mentioned he's 5th in the world. Let's get the full top 10, shall we?
Top 10 in the world, running backwards from Patrick Reed. Lovable Patrick Reed is in 10th. Sergio Garcia now into 9th with the win in Dubai. Justin Thomas, already a winner this season, is 8th. Adam Scott, 7th. Jordan Spieth, 6th. It's a real sort of smorgasbord shuffle now because Hideki Matsuyama is into 5. Dustin Johnson, 4. Henrik Stenson, 3. Rory McIlroy, 2, and Jason Day still top of the pile.
On to the next event on the European Tour now, and the Maybank Championship in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Defending champion Marcus Fraser. Change of venue this year. We're back at Sejana Golf and Country Club, but it is a venue, Rob, that the players have played before. And it's now well established, isn't it, on the European Tour?
Yeah, it is. Malaysia is a certain type of way you've got to play these courses where it's so humid and the grasses are so different. That does take a bit of experience. Quite often you see Asian players playing well on their turf and what they're used to. And then when they come over to the bent greens of Europe and the different conditions, sort of firmer golf courses, they don't seem to fare too well. That's their challenge. Our challenge is to get our players to play well in Asian conditions. But now, because the European Tour is so international, a lot of our young players have had that experience at an early part of their careers. So they go here thinking they've got every much a chance to win as anybody else. Good golf course, really good golf course.
Why are the greens different? What do players have to adapt to?
Well, it's
quicker, slower?
No, it's grain and, you know, the lies you get in the rough and there's certain shots you can't play around the greens. You can't hit sort of the back foot spinny sandwich into the bank and it pops up and grips because once it hits the bank, it comes straight back at you. It's just different. It's weird. Once you get used to those things, then your experience tells you what is and what is not possible. And that's what I mean by having experienced that kind of those conditions for some time. So you just know what to do.
But we've seen one or two youngsters sort of play well there. We've seen experienced pros as well. In terms of game, do you need to be long off the tee? Do you need to be good around the green? How would you...
Long always helps.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're looking for a winner, what's the sort of type of game you're looking for?
You look at Tong Chai Jai D. There's a guy.
It's just local knowledge, though. From
no, but there's a guy that was fantastic in Asia, and then he learnt even you know late on in his career, age wise, sort of around the 40 mark, he learnt how to convert that into wins around the world. I mean, he's a truly international player, Tong Chai Jai D. And when he's on, he's a mean little competitor. Bernd Wiesberger's playing, Tommy Fleetwood's playing, Alex Levy's playing. These are players that have, Alex Levy's won in Asia before. Li Hao Tong's a fantastic Chinese prospect. Marcus Fraser and Scott Henn tend to play well in Asia, the two Australians. Victor Dubuisson's back for more. Pablo Larrazábal in the top 10 in the Race to Dubai is playing. Ashen Wu, another really good Chinese player. Carlson Willett, Schwartzel, Manassero. And look out for a young Australian amateur called Curtis Luck.
Curtis Luck, he showed up on leaderboards, hasn't he, recently?
Yeah, everybody's talking about him. I haven't seen him play yet, but he's obviously, you know, able to compete.
Let's get some selections then. Rob, who are you going for this week?
Kiradeshi Appibarnrat.
Okay, you go for Appibarnrat. Yep. I'm going to go for Scott Henn. You mentioned the Australian. Of course, he was an Asian Tour member for a long time. I think he might have won the Asian Tour Order of Merit.
He won in Hong Kong.
He's now getting used to playing more events on the European Tour internationally. But back on home fairways, to a certain extent, he's going to be my pick. That's your lot for now. Next week, we'll review the Maybank Championship and look ahead to the inaugural World Super 6 in Perth. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. And don't forget, you can send a question to the show. Tweet it to @EuropeanTour using the hashtag ETPodcast. But for now, from Robert Lee.
Who's gone for Kiradeshi Appibarnrat?
And myself, Dan Roebuck, it is goodbye. We'll see you next time.